Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land, and there are a lot of listeners out there. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Radio Star Worldwide Network. Yes, folks, I'm the guy. I'm going to help you. I'm going to guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving, and we are going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. It's nasty. Trust me. Hey, we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host Adrian. Can't make it again this week. Misunderstanding, conflict of schedule. I know the shows are much better with her than without her, but we're going to do our very best to exceed that expectation that you have. And today's guest, author of 50 Minutes of Fame, One Photo Does Wonders to Bring You Back to Solid Ground, Tren Rose Seely. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. Hey, if you're new to the show, we get many new listeners every week, especially since we have gone video. I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is caregivers of every single kind. And one thing we know about caregivers is that they are very caring and selfless and sacrificial and... oh, yeah, they're also very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Can you relate? Hey, you know, like the airlines always tell us, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved ones with their mask. Well, you know, the airlines, they know this so well because they have found out that if you don't put your needs above your loved one's needs, then you'll most likely black out. They know this from experience. And then they've seen that you won't be any good to anybody with anything. So do it. The caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. It automatically throws into this other thing called the grief process. Ouch. Unfortunately, folks, only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. Can't go around it, over it, under it. Got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you feel like you're stuck. Hey, I want to thank last week's guest, Meg Curtis, owner of Stonewall Farm Bed and Breakfast in New Hampshire. It's a caregiver respite, and I'm going to go there one day because I could sure use that kind of respite. Just a reminder, you can hear that interview and all of them, including today's, on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. That's caregivers with an S and caregiver without an S.com. And while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, because I'm such a nice guy, it keeps me up at night remembering what a nice guy I am. I'm going to give you a free copy of my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. So if you've got unbelievable hardships you need to overcome, this is the book for you. So go there and check it out. Hey, enough of that. Tren, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dave. I'm really glad to be here and speaking with your listeners today.
And I'm always glad when I can hear your voice, because many times I've said that and just waited with the crickets. So you're connected. That's good.
You are. I can see your still picture. I can't see your animated, lovely action face.
Okay.
And maybe that's okay.
It's not okay. How do I fix that? Ed, help me out here. I see.
You have to turn your camera on the very bottom. Okay.
You'll see the camera on. It's like grayed out. Why is that?
Well, then I'm not sure.
I mean, you know,
that's on your end, buddy.
Camera, it's connected.
It was working a little bit ago. I saw you with your lush full beard.
There he is with his lush full beard. And
yeah.
Oh, you can see me now.
Personality.
I cannot see you.
All right. Well, while I'm figuring it out, we don't want to, you know, have all this dead time with trivial nothingness. Why don't you tell us, Tren, who is Tren Rose Seeley, and what is she doing on my show?
Oh, I'm so glad to be on your show, Dave. I found your show back earlier this year and was so excited that you are doing a lot of support for caregivers, because we know we all need you and the rest of us who are doing this work. So here we are today in August, and I'm glad that we're connected. I've been doing Alzheimer's support work for 16 years or so, and years before that, without it being a formal thing. I've written a caregiver book, which I'm going to flash on the screen for a moment here. It's 15 Minutes of Fame. One Photo Does Wonders to Bring You Both Back to Solid Ground.
Wow.
And it's been the work that's been very fulfilling and enjoyable for me, and it's not the words that are usually next to the words Alzheimer's and dementia. But I love people, and I love finding the person through the layers that are there. And as you may know, that there's no one right answer or one way that Alzheimer's shows up. Dementia is the symptoms that happen for people, and dementia can be caused by the flu. It can be caused by a thyroid issue. It can be caused by blood pressure or other physical issues, heart issues. Alzheimer's is a kind of dementia. When they've checked out your health all over, all your health issues check out fine, and you still have memory and processing problems, then we call it Alzheimer's related dementia. So I've been doing work in the field for a long time and enjoying people with dementia even before I knew what kind of dementia they had. Eventually, I was working for the Alzheimer's Association, where I was learning that it's really as important as it can be to find out what is causing the dementia, because if it's not Alzheimer's, you don't want it to be. You want to cure it. You want to augment it. You want to handle the heart problem. You want to handle the thyroid problem. You know, you want to be able to do something medical if it's possible. And if it's not possible, then you're going on the right path if you know what the cause is. So I still work with people, and sometimes I don't know what kind of dementia they have, but the work that I've done has led me to talk about the kinds of music and storytelling and photographs and song lyrics, bringing people's life experiences back to them that raise their energy and raise yours as their caregiver as well.
Wow. So that's really what led you to become a professional caregiver. That's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Is caregiving a part of everyone's life, or they just don't know it, or, you know, like parents or people who are always making cookies for their neighbor, you know, stuff like that? You know, does it work out better for both the person doing care and the person needing the care if they kind of get out of denial and admit that there's a relationship going on?
Absolutely. I mean, I worked with young children before I worked with elders, and I sort of spent my childbearing years taking care of children that were other people's children, so I didn't end up having my own. But knowing that I still value my relationship with my parents as an adult. I'm growing older all the time. I might not look it, but I'm getting there.
You look good.
Thank you. My parents are vigorous and kind and healthy in the ways that they are, and their bodies are starting to fail them. But we live about 20 minutes away from them, and they're still important to me, and our energy is changing a little bit, where it's not just they're doing things for me. They raised me, they took care of me, they fed and clothed me and sent me to college, and now I'm doing some support for them just by, you know, being in their lives and making sure they've got what they need and my sister also lives close to them. So we both are in that relationship that's shifted a bit. But it's a real relationship that we expect to be connected and doing some return support that they gave us. And it's true for our marriage partners, for our brothers, sisters, for our aunts, uncles, whoever it is in our lives, or our family of choice. You know, sometimes we are choosing the people that are our family that are different than our biological family, but we care about those people. And so if they call and say, hey, I've got a flat tire and it's midnight, we go and help them. If it's, I just broke my leg and my husband needs to get to work because our car isn't working, we go help them and pick up that person and make sure they get where they need to go. That's relationships. That's not this thing that we call caregiving. And I will say it's a different relationship in some ways that when it's an intense, you know, more one, maybe one way caregiving. But the more we see that we're all in relationship to each other on this planet, we're here to relate and connect and support each other, it's a little easier. It doesn't feel like, as you said, a prison sentence. It doesn't have to feel like a prison sentence.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know it or not, but my mother came down with dementia about 6 years ago, and I've watched her, you know, have to take her car away and move her from a home to independent living, and then from independent living to assisted living, and then from assisted living to a nursing home, and then from nursing home to palliative, and then from palliative to hospice, and then I saw her go. And she, it was a good thing that she left because she wanted to, you know, she didn't like the body that she was trapped in anymore. So what exactly do you do to support people living with dementia and their caregivers? Because it's probably the worst kind of caregiver, the most challenging kind of caregiver, I'd rather say, to be, you know, to have Alzheimer's or dementia, something that you're dealing with on a daily basis, and all the different levels of it, you know?
I really appreciate the journey you've gone through, David. It was a long and important journey with your mom, and you were just letting me know that she's passed away recently, and that I send my love to you and your family, and that every person knows it's hard to lose your parent no matter when it is or what the circumstances. So thank you for sharing that. Right now I have my book that I share online as well as printed, and I do talks in my area looking to share more information with the country and the world. Woo! World domination. No, not world domination at all. I have a message.
And I see you haven't lost your sense of humor. Caregivers need a sense of humor, don't they?
Gotta keep it going. Yeah. Currently, actively, I'm enjoying very much an opportunity of doing an art class. I call it an experience. It's a music storytelling art class called Mindful Art. And I work with a day program that has mostly adults with dementia of some kind. Sometimes it's a younger person with a brain injury. But we have a group of about 30 people who do this class every other week. And it goes along with my book, which is about using songs and photographs and stories and engaging people's stories by starting the story. I will start the story by saying, hey, it's the 4th of July. We're having a great time. We have watermelon. We have lemonade. We're talking about picnics. You remember those good old picnics? If the ants, you know, like to eat all the food, you know, why do they get to keep coming? And stuff like that, talking about stuff about the kind of experiences we've all had. And then people's stories just start coming out. Oh, yeah, I remember when I lived in Chicago, or I remember when I lived in Mexico as a young woman. We always celebrated, even though, you know, it's Mexico. We knew that 4th of July was important. The stories just start emerging from being told the stories. And so we have a wonderful time, and we create art together at the end of our time together. Uh-huh. Can you still hear me, Dave?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. It sounded like a little bit of a short. So the thing that has been added in the last year that's been wonderful is some grand It's a university here in Arizona called Grand Canyon University, and they have nursing psych students who need volunteer hours for their program, and they are engaged in the class. So I do a training for them before the class starts. They do about 3 sessions with me, and then I'll get a new cohort of students, between 6 and 12 people, who have continued to give the feedback about how glad they are to do this hands-on, connect with real people experiences. When they sit in class and they just start biting their nails and saying, oh no, dementia is horrible and I'm so scared, I don't know what to do. Then they come to the class and they say, oh, these are just people. In fact, they're great people. They're interesting people. They're funny. They're connected. They're laughing. They're coming to life with this music and storytelling experience. And we create greeting cards every time where they take a card home with them. And we also create a group project for the center that stays there. And it's just been a real treat, not only to serve people and see them sort of come back to life with music and stories and art, but also sharing that with the next generation of nurses who will be in the ER, or they'll be with people with mental illness. Or some of them now have said, I'm going to go into geriatric studies and support people with Alzheimer's because this experience has changed my life.
Wow. I'm so grateful that there are people like you in the dementia field, because, you know, there's a lot of people who shouldn't be in that field. They're burned out and they're long gone, their usefulness. You know, it's time for them to move on and bring some new blood in. But you are amazing. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break, couple of minutes. Don't go away. We will be right back, and we'll talk again with my guest, Trin, and we're going to talk about music and the importance of music, okay?
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on Radio Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about 1/3 of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only 3 types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific on Radio Star Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Trin Rose Seely. That's a lot of names to say. Which do you prefer?
There's a lot of names. You can call me Trin. You can call me Trin. You can, that old commercial, you can call me Benny. Or you.
Folks, this is how a caregiver survives of being a caregiver. You just have to take life really light and see the flowers and smell the coffee.
I was going to say something about flowers, actually. I wanted to show this little Christmas cactus that I've been taking a piece from my aunt's cactus back in Pennsylvania last summer, or, you know, in June. And I'm not very good at rooting plants, but you know what I did? There's these teas that I get that have these little quotes on them, and I've been putting them right next to the plant. Might sound hokey, but it's true. It says, "In all things of nature, there is something of the marvelous." And all my plants are rooting, so I'm thinking it's working. And I do the same for people. Put that little love quote next to their, you know, next to their bathroom sink. Put it on the dining room table. Put it on the coffee table. Something that, about that person, where they feel recognized, they feel acknowledged, they feel remembered of who they are, what they're good at. Hey, you were some lawyer in your day. Hey, you designed bathing suits. You've been in the fashion world and created clothing that make women beautiful. Thank you. That much, just that much on a card, anywhere in the home. It just really, it brings the caregiver's energy up, and it brings the person's energy up who is searching for themselves. They're trying to stay connected, and doing that little something makes all the difference.
Wow. So let's talk about music. I know that my mother would perk up when I, you know, talk about singing some old songs that she knew, and bringing an iPod with headphones. What's your experience?
Absolutely. Well, one of the most significant stories that comes to me, I've been a musician all my life, led music for church camp and at church and in cafes with trios, and I could play guitar and dulcimer and lots of music in my life. It's always been very valuable in my life. And one of the first times I worked in a care community in Colorado, I was doing activity work, and I added a music evening because I noticed there were so many people up at 6:15 when the whole building sort of saying, we're trying to get everyone to go to sleep, and there's, you know, 50 people, we're all trying to get them to go to sleep, but they're not ready. Some of them are not ready, as you know. Some of them are up at 3 in the morning and think it's morning and whatever. But so I said, well, how about if I add a music evening? And then those people who aren't ready to sleep can come out, check it out, see if they want to sing. And there's a woman that I knew only during the day as a very stressed, you know, tender, sweet woman who just had a very hard time walking. She sort of just looked troubled all the time and didn't connect with any activities at all. Didn't, you know, do exercise in the morning, didn't want to do baking in the afternoon. Nothing was reaching her, but she was one of those people up in the evening. So I invited her and, you know, one of the caregivers to bring her out. And she sat in the front row. And remember, this is a person who's got this sort of tense panic on her face and not able to connect. She sang every word of every song for 1 hour. Ah, that sweet lady, that was significant to me to see that, you know, as I was just learning about, well, what are people with dementia experiencing and what can give them some relief, some grounding. And this was shocking and delightful. So I said, I don't care what this woman does all the rest of the week. You make sure she's sitting in that front row on Thursday night. This changes her life, you know. And I've seen that happen with other people, but that was the first time where I saw that happen.
And that's a very good thing to have that kind of interaction.
Yes, yes.
So you it sounds like recommend that music should be introduced into the Alzheimer's or dementia patient.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful... Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I was just going to say, what practical ways would you suggest?
Yeah. There's a wonderful movie that's been made in the last couple of years called Alive Inside. If you're an internet person, you may have seen the clip of the African-American man named Henry who was very comatose and not connected. And as soon as he got an iPod of music in his ears, boo, he just came to life. It was like literally 10 years of not being able to really lift his head or connect. he just started telling life story after life story and about his daughters and about the kind of music he used to listen to. And he sang along and was shocking and delightful. And if anyone can watch that, Alive Inside, terrific movie. And what they promote in that movie is to find the precise music that that person really loves. And I add the aspect of just try something. If you don't know, it's okay. Try something. Is it big band music? Is it jazz? Is it musicals? Is it sappy stuff? Is it funny? Is it country? Play something and not close your options to, well, I don't know what they like. Well, probably you do know what they like if you're part of their life. And if you're a professional caregiver who doesn't know them, just try something and see. It will lift the energy of everybody. And, you know, you can go on the computer like crazy. You can get YouTubes from a lot of different resources. And then you can also just play a CD. I have to say, I admit on a public radio here that I have my cassettes still from the 80s. That I love.
Of course you do.
I play my little cassettes. Brings me joy. But, I'm getting to the new technology. But whatever way you can get music in your life. And when I taught young children music, a program called Kinder Music with their parents. And the parents would say to me, well, you know, you're a great singer, but I can't sing. And I say, you know what? You're their parent and you're going to be with them the rest of their lives. They don't care if you're a great singer or a not so great. Just sing anyway and bring your love to it. That's your relationship with them, and that's what's important. So I always made sure that was said. So in saying that, bring music any way you can. I happen to be an instrumentalist, so I can just whip out my ukulele or whip out my dulcimer and play a tune. And I break into tune. Dave can already attest to the fact that I break into tune, you know, every other sentence. I get a chance. But if you're not that kind of fancy musician, doesn't matter. Play a CD. Play something gentle in the morning or maybe energetic if you're trying to get the person that you're caring for up and out and into the day. You can change the music according to what you see on their face. They will tell you if they're enjoying it just by, you know, this is wrong and this is great. It's right there. You know, the nonverbal is strong with people, especially music. Music is very deep affections for us. You know, our teen years are the whatever was playing at that time. It's like, so now I come to you with open arms. You know, that's sixth grade wow. Dance. That's big for when I was a kid. So when I hear that song, boop, I'm back in sixth grade. And it was an okay experience, you know, along with the awkwardness of being a young person. But you try something and provide music in all those ways.
So we know that there are different kinds of people. There's audio people, there's visual people, there's kinesthetic people, you know, the touchy-feely. So do you find the same kind of success in the visual senses, like photography or something like that?
Absolutely. I felt really glad as I was working with my book designer. She initially sent me back my book, and she had a lot of stock photos in there. And I said, oh, I didn't tell you, I'm a photographer too. So I'd really love to use my own photos in this book. So there's photos that people take of their own families, and there's a lot of beautiful things to look at on the internet now. You know, amazing. I was driving in a storm the other night, and the lightning, and I couldn't take any pictures, and I always love taking pictures of things like lightning, but there's some photographers who've taken the most stunning pictures of lightning ever taken, and I don't need to be the one that took the stunning picture. I can show that picture. You know, I can talk about rainstorms, and I happen to love rainstorms, but you can use other people's pictures or use your own. In my book, I tell a story about doing music at a care community. It was not the one I was working full-time at. I also did music shows at other care communities in Colorado back in the way back in the 2000s. I still do that, but more not as often. But there was a man at the event who I didn't know because I'd never met him before, along with everyone else. At the end of the show, he came up to me and he said, "That was so wonderful. Thank you." And then he pulled out a picture out of his pocket, and it was a picture of his father in the Navy, in the Army, with a trombone in his hand. And he said, "This is my dad. And he played trombone in the Army band. And he was a great man. And your music reminded me of him. Thank you so much." And again, it was a learning moment for me to appreciate this man is carrying this one picture around. And later the other caregivers in the building confirmed he shows every person he meets that picture. Wow. That is the most important picture to him. That is the most important memory to him. Somebody, maybe it was him, maybe a family member said, here's this picture of your dad. But he himself, with serious dementia, figured out that every time he pulled that picture out, it would make him so happy. And so that's what I promote, and I've done it for people since, for many years. But that was, again, the first moment where he taught me that one photo does wonders to bring you both back to solid ground.
Absolutely. Yeah, my mother, we had pictures of all her kids, and just her room was just full of pictures on the walls. And whenever, you know, she'd have to go to the hospital and she wanted to leave the hospital, she goes, "I want to go to that room that has all the pictures on the wall." You know, it's all she could remember about the room, and that it was a safe place to be, just staring at all the things that some she knew and some she couldn't remember, you know. But tell us about your book, 15 Minutes of Fame, One Photo Does Wonders to Bring You Back to Solid Ground. Available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
Wherever books are sold. That covers it. That covers it. Well, here's the book, just so you've got it, since I've got it right here. 15 Minutes of Fame. Yep. And it's a book that is short and easy to read. And for the things that I've mentioned, it's full of ideas about bringing photographs, song lyrics, and written stories back to the person with dementia. I've learned over the many years of doing full-time care for people in their private homes, as well as care communities, as well as from the Alzheimer's Association position, and now again with direct care with people in an adult day program, is that we can retrieve a person's memories for them. They can't maybe answer a question when you say, "Hey, how many children do you have?" You know, they might not recall. But if you know the answer, if you can find out from the director, from the nurse, from a family member, "Hey, you have 6 children. You have 3 sons and 3 daughters." There's a woman that I work with who is deaf in one ear, and she's very sweet and loving when she can hear you. And when she can't, well, she's mad. Mm-hmm. She's really mad. And she will bark and say, "Hey, I can't hear you." And if all you knew was the barking side, you wouldn't want to talk with her. You'd be turned off. But when you get on her good side, or you know, you can, you know, see her, you know, do some lip reading and connecting, then she's just loving and docile and can't wait to tell you about her 6 children and where they lived and what they do. And one of them's passed away and she's sad about that, but the other ones are doing great. And, you know, the more that you, a caregiver, whether you're a professional or a family member or a friend visiting, you know, if you have a story about that person's life, then they feel known and they can recall when the story is sparked, when it's triggered, you know. And it's also the kind of thing where you say, do you have to know everything about that person? Well, no, you start with general things like, "Boy, it's hot here in Arizona." You know, I say that every time because it's hot. It's yeah. Really, really hot. There's no getting around it. But we'll talk about, well, this, you know, if we were back in the Midwest, we'd be starting to feel the crisp nights and the fall leaves are starting to come. And then we start remembering stories about the fall. And people will say, oh, yeah, I love those fires and having, you know, fire in the fireplace and the hot chocolate. And my kids would come in from being outside, and I'd make sure they had a good warm dinner. And, you know, their stories will come when they're triggered. And so it's my promotion to share with people to start the conversation, start the stories, and you will likely get stories in return. So that book is full of ideas like that. What do you do? How do you do it? And it's been really valuable to share these perspectives with people. Now that I'm not working in a full-time care community kind of job, I'm now helping people in my church. I'm helping people in my town. I'm helping some of the families at this day program. I'm starting to get to know what can we do to support you now that your wife isn't even as comfortable coming to the day program. What are the resources in town? And what can you do at home to give her support and to inform professional caregivers coming in or family members who only come once every 3 months? What can you share with them to share with her or to share with him that will enliven your conversation and bring you both some positive energy?
Wow, that's really good. You know, I apologize, everyone, that we haven't been able to figure out why I can't see my video, and we'll figure it out, but I don't think we're going to figure it out today.
All right.
Anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, "Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through." Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Tryn Rose Seely, famous author. Hey, I wanted to ask you if you heard of this book called Moments. It talks kind of what you're talking about, in that you should try to make moments for the Alzheimer's patient. In other words, like, similar to what you said, you know, hey, you remember when we used to be kids and we used to, you know, make forts out of the sheets and used to come in and used to get mad at us and then you'd make us hot chocolate, whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're laughing and it might only last 30 seconds, this moment, and then they're gone. you know, similar to that movie Notebook, where they're dancing, they're having a good time, and then all of a sudden, you know, boom, who are you? What are you doing in my room? You know, and needs to be, you know, put out. But even a 30-second moment is something to want to achieve as a goal, because that could make that person feel all warm and fuzzy, not only for that 30 seconds, but all day long, you know, and they may forget why they were feeling all warm and fuzzy, but it's now they're just relaxed, you know, and they just subconsciously feel it's okay. You know, everything's okay with the world. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be nervous about. I'm feeling good. And like I said, they may not even know that they're feeling good. Have you heard of that book or that strategy?
That's a wonderful book. I have not heard of the book, but the strategy for sure. I've learned to do that very much so and share that with others. When I first moved to Arizona in 2010, I was helping support an art class at a Banner Alzheimer's Institute, which I'd heard about, and was a terrific time to work for them. Again, there was a moment where one of the caregivers who came said, "I want you to know that my husband feels so much better for several days after this class." Mm. And that, again, was those formative instances where there's others after that moment, but that moment sticks out to me, that the wife was saying he is struggling at home. Of course, he's struggling at home. And he has a whole different experience here with laughing and talking and creating. And he never was even an artist before, but now he's becoming an artist. He's enjoying this time with you all. And he feels better for several days after this class. And it's huge. It's huge. So you don't know what kind of fruit is going to be born out of creating these moments. And again, for me, the philosophy to share with caregivers is do this, bring pictures, bring song lyrics, put song lyrics on the coffee table, write those stories and post them next to the photos of the family, the crazy adventure of, you know, driving to Arizona and your car broke down and you had to stay overnight in that funny little hotel. Tell those stories, write them down and access them, whether it's you, the caregiver, the person with dementia, or a professional coming into your home for care, you know, private care, or a hospice person, or a neighbor, or a grandchild that only comes to visit every 6 months to even once a year. They know what your mom or your brother or your friend enjoys, and then it sort of informs their conversation to bring these experiences right back. You can transport there. You know, when I was singing that silly, you know, open arms song a little while ago, but I am transported back to sixth grade when I hear that song. I'm not just, you know, luckily if I'm driving, I'm still driving where I'm going, but it really does bring that, the joy and the fun of those times and those people. It's a visual and it's a real experience. And I really, really strongly have experienced bringing people with dementia who are otherwise confused, frustrated, angry, lost, back to calm, back to ground with these resources. And it fills the cup of the caregiver as well while they're caregiving. You know, Dave, I'm sure you've heard the ideas of people saying, you know, you, the caregiver, you need a break. You need to just go take a bath or, you know, go out with some friends. And the caregiver's going, okay, so yeah, you have no idea. Yeah. There's no way. How could I possibly do that? I am doing full-time care. But if you are now bringing these kind of resources of your own lives back to you, you're also bringing yourself that energy of, these were wonderful times in our lives. This was this person's career, and they loved doing this work. This was a master gardener, and even though she can't get out to the rose garden anymore, those rose bushes are still there. And that's the one that won her that Master Gardener Award. You know, these things, bring these things of your life back. It's often a response to learning that a person has severe dementia, to sort of close up the life and pack it away in the closet and and feel like, well, we're just going to wait now for, 5 to 20 years before this journey is over. And that's pretty depressing. And it's depressing for the person doing the care. So the new philosophy that I've come up with in the last couple of weeks is, if your cup is half full from 9 to 12 in the morning, great. Now make sure it's at least half full from 12 to 3. And then make sure it's at least half full from 3 to 6. And, you know, what is it? Is it to have 10 minutes of reading while you sneak into the bathroom for yourself for a few minutes? Is it to look at these pictures or look at these Bible quotes that bring you some spirit, some positive spirit for yourself, with the person or without? But you're going to fill your cup a little bit all the time. It's not like you've achieved some goal where now my cup is full and now I'm going to give it all to somebody else. It's that you fill it enough.
It's like your cell phone, you know, it's going to only stay fully charged for so long if you've got it on. And then you got to charge it again. And do you charge it when it's at 1% flashing danger, Will Robinson? Or do you, you know, do it a little earlier so that you're not in crisis mode?
Right. And that if you have the goal that you're going to be, you know, have a week long vacation all by yourself, that might not happen. But you can decide that this little thing is going to make you have some joy. You're going to have that cup of tea at the table with the music playing. You're going to have a story written down that when your family member is ready to come out, they come and you have something funny to say to them, or a joke, or a story about their life, a story about something you've achieved together, something their grandchildren have done that they're proud of. Then you've informed your conversation that you have something positive to talk about, and it fills your cup, fills their cup.
Now, let's talk about the future, because some people get depressed when they think of the future and the baby boomers and, you know, no long-term care insurance and caregivers outnumbering or care receivers outnumbering caregivers 2-to-1. Tell me how you see the future.
Yeah. Well, as a person who's now worked at private homes as well as care communities, I call them care communities, whether they're nursing facilities or whatever, care communities brings that positive imagery. I think that the baby boomers want to stay in their own homes as much as they can, as we would expect anyone would. And what that means to me is to keep helping caregivers who end up being that support person for them to keep being able to fill their cup. So I hope that people will connect with me with my book and with my resources to help you do that. And also that I really see the future of public spaces being rejuvenated so that there are active things happening in regular community. When I first started doing my art class separately from Banner, I was doing it in a regular art center, which was hard to get advertising, hard to remind people that you can come in with the person with dementia here to this regular art center community. So now I'm working more in a, you know, a community that's more particular to people with dementia. But I see the future evolving towards people being able to just go to the mall and go to the library and go to the open spaces and see music and children, dance troupes doing their dress rehearsal in the public space instead, and that reintegrating people back into community rather than separating us out. So I continue to work in circles where I can sort of help provide that vision, and I know it's happening too. There's a group called Placemaking that is having this great conference in Oregon in September, about revitalizing cities, revitalizing Detroit and Ohio cities, and trying to bring small businesses back in there. And so rejuvenating community in general will serve the people with dementia of the future in a more integrated way.
Yeah. Well, listen, Trent, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. We are at the end of our hour, and so we just have enough time for you to tell people how to contact you if they want to talk to you or buy your book or just, you know, vent or anything. How can someone get a hold of you?
Bring it on. Anything you got. I'm ready. Well, my name is Trin Rose Seeley, and I have my personal email is my name, Trin Rose, TrynRose, @gmail.com. I'm not one of those people who has 20 emails, just one, trinrose@gmail.com. Glad to talk, glad to give direct support. I have a Facebook caregiver page called facebook.com/caregiverheart. And my website is caregiverheart.com, CAREGIVERHEART, caregiverheart.com, where you can purchase my book or, again, be in touch directly. And I also want to say, along with me, there's so many wonderful people out there now. Even 10 years ago, there weren't as many people giving support to all of you caregivers. Dave is one of them, and I'm delighted to be on your show today, Dave.
Thank you. And thank you to all my guests. And we'll see you next week at same time, noon, Tuesday, Pacific time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific, or catch the program anytime 24/7 right here on Radio Star Worldwide.